Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
This class is about preparation for the future. It's an eschatological class. We've spoken about how to behave. We've spoken about how to receive. We've spoken about our evolution in Christ. It's time to speak about understanding the times. So those who want to be here should please come in. Now, in every generation, there are three layers of intentionality and, of course, three layers of planning. There is the eternal plan of God that does not fail. It is already in place. It is already in position. And it is so intricate and complicated that every one of us can only see the little part that we have to play in it. Nobody ever sees the full big picture. Nobody. Because countries will play a role in it. Individuals will play their role. Kings will play their role in it. That's how it is. When Jesus was going to come, Herod played his role. The Magi's played their role. Angels played their role. Shepherds played their role. A virgin played her role. And the virgin's husband played her role. And you can see the complication of all these things, how complicated it was. Herod did not know that he was playing a role. The Magi did not know they were playing a role. The shepherds didn't know that they were playing a role. The manger did not know that he was playing a role. Everybody just. But in all that huge, elaborate picture, everybody played their role perfectly. Everybody. Because God was orchestrating the script. So everybody played their role, even though they didn't know that they were answering to a role. In this time and age where we are now, the world is changing quickly. The world is changing rapidly. Usually Africa is the last to catch up. But it doesn't mean that the world is not changing. I explained to some people, they did a program in BBC when I was not in Nigeria at the time, and I was watching the TV in the UK, and they did the program. They themselves went on the street to interview people. Which one do you watch? Do you watch TV or YouTube? It turned out that practically all the Gen Z and all the millennials, they prefer to watch their own content rather than the traditional content of TV. So the TVs lost out big time to all these new streaming platforms. They lost out to Netflix, they lost out to Prime, they lost out to all those ones. Then they lost out to YouTube, and they have lost out to many things. Same thing with those who have newspapers. Many people are not reading newspapers again. Newspapers are begging for subscription. They would come. They write to me all the time, Washington Post, all these people, because I subscribe to them. I like to read their editorial content. So they would tell me, oh, just $2.50 for 1 year subscription. Nobody is reading. They will write it there. No, people are not reading. Your subscription is what will keep us afloat. Because people are creating their own content now, and what sells the news is that people should watch it. What is the point? If you have a staff and you have a cameraman and you have a journalist, and the person goes to do an investigative journalism, spends a lot of money, then the news comes out, and it's not a sellout. In fact, maybe 50 or 100 people read it, and most of them are old people who are already used to reading it. Because most of those who are still dealing with traditional thinking are those who are born in the 40s, 50s, who are set in that manner, and they couldn't adapt to these new ways of doing things. They couldn't. So they continue to watch it. They say, I must watch my news by 10. I must watch my news by 9. The children of nowadays, they can watch their news now. In fact, they can make the news. They can make the news themselves, and they are made to buy it. We are in an age where people call themselves streamers. They do nothing but sit before a screen all day, fooling, making a fool of themselves. Young people, 18, 19, 20. Okay, what is your occupation? I'm an online streamer. Okay, what do you stream? I stream myself dancing naked. I stream myself wearing a female attire as a male. I stream myself featuring all deities, all people. I go all over the world trying to break record when I am not an official athlete. And suddenly I have 200 million views. 180 million views. Like, it's not as if I offer anything educational. It's not even entertaining. All I offer is distraction. I am a distraction specialist. And the world will watch. I even reward distraction specialists who call themselves streamers. People are making careers out of gaming. So the richest people in the world now, they make their money from YouTube, they call them YouTuber. People like Mr. Beast and Co. They come up with elaborate entertainment scheme, daring plots, games, and people would watch them, and people would subscribe to them, and they are making money. The world is changing. The world is changing. In the midst of all this distraction, we have the race for artificial intelligence. As this now, it is already functional in many nations. All the Tesla cars, the newest models are optimized for artificial intelligence, basically meaning very soon, those who call themselves drivers, you see, you are an Uber driver, say, I make my money driving, you'll certainly find that in the next 20 years, people will no longer trust human driving again because machines will be doing it better than people. So if anybody is thinking of having a career in driving, sorry. Sorry. Even riding bicycle, AI will take over bicycle, motorcycle, trains, planes. They are using AI to land planes now and to take off. And when the plane is on air, they will put it on cruise control. So eventually, aeroplanes will no longer need pilots. Pilots are going to be phased out. It's one of the lucrative professions that people will say, what do you want to be in the future? I want to be a pilot. Very soon, there is no point being a pilot anymore. There will be no point. Unless you want to fly your own Cessna and all these small aircraft. But people will rather trust the machine to fly them, because there will be no human error. They will fly according to how they are programmed. And they will not be tired. They will not sleep off. They will not be thinking of their girlfriend that cheated them, or their wife that is sleeping with somebody else, or their husband that is chasing skates. They will not have any emotional problem. They will fly effectively, and they will take off. They will land. They are already taking off. They are already landing. The problem now is, in a few years, suddenly you just see there will be no pilot anymore. So optimization of life is coming. All the things, medicine. I'm talking to one of the big AI proponents and those who are racing to develop it, because there is a race now with China. China is doing very well in AI, and the US is trying to make sure that they give them a run for their money. Competition is good for the world. And they said in 3 years, all soldiers will be retired in the US. Maximum of 3 years, all soldiers. There will be no need for soldiers anymore because machines will be doing surgery. So, well, I'm going to learn, I'm going to make money. Money is in nursing now. Medicine and nursing. That's where the money is. Very soon you'll see that this is the last hurrah for those who are going there to study. Many of them will come back to Africa. Like I said, Africa is the cradle of mother. Everybody will come back here because when machines take over in the advanced countries and people are looking for work, by themselves, they will carry their bag. They will come back to Africa and say, okay, before the AI will take over in Africa, let us put ourselves to work here. This is the time we are in. The Bible said that Daniel studied the book, the work of the prophets before him, and he understood the time. When you understand the time, you can make decisions. Decisions that will position you for the future. Daniel was in his 80s. He was too old to leave Babylon. The children of Babylon, of Israel, have spent over 70 years in exile. And Daniel got to Babylon at the age of about 15, 14 or 15. So Daniel was already 94 years old when he went to read. He said, I've been here over 70 years. I've served four kings. And I came here as a youth. And the prophecy says we are going to spend 70 years in exile. Add 70 years to my age, it should have been, God should have sent us a deliverer now. Why are we still in exile? We are supposed to do 70 years. Add it to my age, we are 94. We are still sitting down in Babylon. Why has God not sent a helper, a hint, somebody, you see? Because when God said you will spend 70 years, when 70 years was up, you would think that by that time, then something will happen, like maybe a Moses will appear, and the Moses will say, let us go home, or something. But nothing. No sign, nothing. Daniel went to pray. Daniel went to pray. Daniel was like, God, please, this is, look at evidence. It was 70 years that you told Jeremiah that we will spend in exile. 70 years. We have spent 70 years. Look at it. I study. I'm looking at it. Look at it. You yourself said 70 years. It's 70 years. And we are still here. Why are we still here? Why are we still here? Then God sent an angel. Many of us know the story. That the angel was going to come to Daniel to give him an answer as to his question regarding why they were still there. And a solution to the angel will come with answers to the question, and he will also bring a solution. But the prince of Persia stopped that angel on day three. The reason being that it is the oppressor does not want the oppressed to be free. Even though God was the one that said, go into exile, Babylon does not want them to go. But anyway, Daniel tarried in the place of prayer for 21 days. The first day, he got an answer. The angel came, explained to him why he was delayed. And the angel then told him that the way to come out of the situation that you are in, I'm not going to send an external savior. You are going to use your influence. You've been in the corridors of power for several years. You've been in the corridors of power in Babylon since you are a child, since you are 14. You've been sitting with kings, talking to kings, mesmerizing kings. You have to use that opposition to put into place a person that I will choose. He will be the key. Ah, who shall that person be? That shall be Nehemiah. Shall come in as the king's cupbearer. That was the legacy of Daniel. The greatest thing Daniel ever did for the children of Israel was that prayer he prayed and the solution God gave him. So when you go back to your Bible and you read the story of Nehemiah, and you see how Nehemiah won the heart of the king, and then he was able to talk to the king with tears. The king said, I'm looking at your countenance, Nehemiah. You don't look happy. Is there anything the problem? Is there anything? What is the problem? Nehemiah said, I've heard news of my country, where my forefathers came from. Nehemiah was not born. He was not born in Israel. He was born in Babylon. He was not born in Israel. He was born in Babylon. So all the things he was saying, they burned down the city of my father, it was based on coaching, on teaching. On coaching, on teaching. He was not born there. He was born in Babylon. He was a young cupbearer. He was not an elderly man. He was not Daniel's contemporary. He was like a grandson to Daniel. So just like I saying that, my children telling somebody that, our village. Imagine if one of my children tell you that something happened to our village. Are you not going to ask them? Well, I did go to the village. Because of course, there were a lot of people there. I can talk about village, but they couldn't. They shouldn't be able to because it wasn't the life that I exposed them to. So the man then said, I've heard news from those who travel of the desolation of my home country. And then the king said, okay, go ahead and rebuild your whole country. And then let them give him supplies. At least that would be another settlement under our reign, that I know that I have a trusted man who would take care of it. And that was how they came out of exile. They didn't come out of exile through the powerful hand of a Messiah. They came out of exile through diplomacy. Through diplomacy. While this was going on the side of the Nehemiah in Babylon, that would be King Sardis. There was a prophecy that mentioned a savior who was a man that didn't know God called Cyrus, who was going to be from Medes and Persia, and who was going to be instrumental in resettling the children of Israel in their land. So many of us will remember the story of King Darius and Daniel before Nehemiah's time. That Darius was the one that fasted and prayed when they threw Daniel in the lion's den after his son Cyrus had taken over Babylon for him and they had merged it and two kingdoms had become one. The influence of Daniel battered the position of the kings of Nehemiah, so that they could prepare a future for the children of Israel. As times are changing now, a lot of us, our focus is on self. Me, my wife, my children. That is beautiful. If status quo remains and systems are not being re-engineered to change, systems are being re-engineered seriously towards change. We are in 2026 now. You can write down my words. By 2031, remember that I've mentioned this about 3 years ago. I said 8 years of abundance. By the end of 2031, systems will change. I'm not saying they may. I'm saying they will. Systems will change. The same will soon change that most people who had studied and chased careers all their life will suddenly find themselves without much to do, except you own your own thing. Except you move away from system into ownership. Those who are chasing, I want to work with Fortune 500. The Fortune 500 are already integrating machines into most of their lower level work. And now they are upscaling them into the higher level work. They are not using machines to make burger. They are using machines to make many things. They are using it to cut clothes and to sew. Nobody will even touch it. To just put the design in the system, and you put the cloth, and then the machine would scan it and put it on the cloth and cut it and sew it, and you come out with complete cloth without any human interaction with the cloth. So all the sweatshops where a lot of people will sit down and say, "Oh, all the Chinese people, they are doing sweatshop," it will stop once machines take over, and it is more effective. The labor, human labor and human error will be eliminated. They will go the effective route. What would then happen is that people would congregate into tribes because it will not take over the world all at once. So there will be tribal breakouts. Every community will now have their own alternative. If they want to use the human interface, human interface will not be expensive. For example, you can get a cloth for some amount if it's machine made, but if a human being is making it, it has to be somebody special, somebody that has the skill that will make the cloth very different and very elaborate. So designers will still be at play. They will still be in play. The machines will be able to design. They would have an idea of conceptualization, but they will not be able to design as effectively as a human being. But once a human being designs, the machines will execute. So you see, the place where human beings should be is where is design. Somebody that is making use of his ability, creative ability, is the one that will benefit the most in the coming days. The person that has trained himself to think solution, because all you have to do is come up with a solution and feed it into the system will execute it. So, but the system will not be able to customize the solution properly because the solution is going to be customized to different cultures. So if they think of a machine in the US that can make clothes, if they bring the machine to Nigeria, it will not make the kind of clothes we wear. You see now, it will be difficult for it because the programming. So again, you have to get the Nigerian programmer to then program it. And Nigerians, the way we dress, the machine will be tired. I know how my wife and tailors are. If the bottom is not where it's supposed to be, tailor will say, come. This is not what I told you. So machine will have to know how it works. So then you have to get a human interface. Now here's where I'm going. This is the time we are in now. A lot of young people write to me, searching for a job, I'm searching for this, I'm searching for that. Many of them are still thinking like we are in the year 2000. A lot of their parents too, they will be telling the children, go and look for a job. Go and do this. They think the system is still the same. It's like you are telling somebody that, oh, what is wrong with you? Go and get a camera. Go and buy Kodak. Go and buy Kodak. You know that Kodak was operating as a multi-billion dollar business before phones came out, camera phones. You know, when camera phones came, digital camera and all that, Kodak, all their films, they still have some that are still using film now. It's just now for the sake of sentiments that some people still use them. The business, that company sank quickly. because the world shifted away from it in like a minute. Like today they are using it, tomorrow they are not using it anymore. And that's how it will be for many, many traditional businesses. TV stations will close down. They have no option. They have no option. They are already closing. They have no option. Nobody's watching them. For people to watch them, they have to put, they are putting themselves now on YouTube. People are watching them on YouTube now, not on traditional. Nobody has time to sit down watching anything you are doing. So you put your TV station on YouTube, then people will watch you there. So basically, if you have a little bit of equipment, all the elaborate equipment, transmission, all these things, it's just a waste of money. Generator is a waste of money where you can set up a ring light. The world is changing. You must begin to think of positioning yourself in a place of advantage in the coming days. Nobody should say it caught me by surprise. It would not be fair. If anybody says, I was caught by surprise, I didn't see it coming. And suddenly, what I studied is no longer acceptable. You know, those of us who studied mass comm, for example, I studied mass comm. Thank God that I'm not studying it now. If you have a chance of the mass comm now, you are wasting the chance future. Mass comm should have been scrapped from Nigerian universities a long time ago. Why? Because it is, there is nothing as limiting as that course in the destiny of a child. So, some people I know studied and they became newscasters. They applied to BBC that they wanted to work for BBC. BBC then told them that they can only work for BBC Africa, specifically as journalists under BBC Nigeria. They cannot work for BBC UK. They asked why. They said because people in the UK do not want to hear a Nigerian accent reading news to them. Do you want to come to the UK reading? You want to be reading English more than English people? And then I realized the limitation of that course. They said, even if you study journalism in Africa and you are used to reading, writing news, when you get to the UK, before you, when you are writing the news, you won't be able to write it as good as those who are born there. You don't know the name of the streets. You don't know how all the things. You take a whole lot of years to teach you, but those who are born there already know the things. So they just teach them a bit of writing and they get it. So I said, no, this course is a research course. Nobody should study it because it's going to make you a local champion all your life. You can only shine in your local area. You can't have a global relevance. Not like somebody that did ACCA, but even ICAM, a lot of people studied accountancy. They can travel all over the world and they've held their own. Engineers all over the world, they're holding their own. There are courses that are universal. There are some courses that when you hear them, just run away, there's no future. However, regardless of what you studied, how to put your mind to use, effectively use your mind is important. That is, you come into a community and you look at, okay, what does this community need? Can I meet the community's need? Can I meet the community's need? And that's not difficult. If we are thinking as Christians, and we are thinking that we want to actually exercise influence and dominion over certain areas of life, over banking, over commerce, transportation, if we are thinking like that, a lot of us don't. I do, but a lot of us don't. We just want to be in this system and work with it as it is. And that's why many of us, we don't get to be very great in life. We are okay. We can send our children to school. We can eat. Some of us can drive good cars. But that is about it when it comes to dominion in this life. If you really want to have dominion with great influence, then you have to look at, okay, what is lacking in my community, or what is lacking in a community that I can take over and I'll be the number one in that community and situate myself there and be the level of influence and the power of influence or the broker of influence in that place. Go to sub communities. They are still very much in Africa underdeveloped. They need, you don't need much, no need for big planning. The things that you see in developed communities, they do not have it. They don't have a mall in that community. They don't have a mall. They don't have a cinema. They don't have a good hospital. They don't have any particular industry, but they have the population. When they travel to maybe Lagos or they go to Ibadan, they are like, wow. To them, they are like in America. They are like, wow. Wow. But it is not that they don't have a job. They do. They have money. But they do not have these facilities close to them. So when I travel again, I look at all the communities we go to. I look at the difference between maybe Manchester and London and Reading and some other places. I'll look at the structure of the things they built, how they built it to fit each community so that every community is almost independent of the other. This community can take care of the people in this community. That community can take care of the people in that community. They will make sure they build everything in that same ecosystem that will meet the need of those in that community so that you don't have to, somebody cannot be sick in Lagos, and you have to fly a person to Abuja for treatment, like we do in Africa. I have a senior colleague who was ill. They developed that his voice was fainting. And he went to the hospital that my voice, when I speak, it is not coming out anymore. My voice is not coming out anymore. And the doctors in the southwest of Nigeria, they didn't know what the problem was. They told him, oh, take antibiotic, take this, take that. The guy said, my voice, the more, is fainting and fainting to the point where I cannot hear myself. A doctor from the northeast of Nigeria read about his complaint. He wrote about it on Facebook. Doctor told him, oh, can you come? He went to the northeast, and when they got there, they looked at him and they said, oh, you need to do a laser procedure. There's something that is in your voice box that is going on your voice box. We can do a laser procedure for you. And they were able to do it. And then he gained his voice back. You wonder why all the doctors in Southwest don't know about it? Uh-huh. It is again, those things. We have to begin to think ownership. We have to be deliberate about it. Creating value. Taking over markets. Where people are, commerce shall be. If you notice that there are people in a place and there is no commerce, you have to think of, okay, how do you put commerce there? A lot of people may be thinking like that. So, no, we want to do electric car system. Electric car system is good if the whole community, the whole people, if everybody can afford it. If they can't, then you have to think of what everybody can afford and begin to position yourself. I do not speak to you as an economics expert. I speak to you as somebody who has seen a revelation. The Lord showed me a revelation. It's my duty to share it. But I do not want to share it in such a way that people will then say, what is he talking about? Because if I shared it without this explanation, a lot of people will be confused. Or you will hear a revelation, but you don't know what to do with it. The Lord said to me that the system of this world is being deliberately taken over. I saw a spider that was casting a web into every aspect of of a globe. It was deliberately, it wants to lift it, wants to capture it. So it was casting a web. It was deliberate and meticulous and patient. It was casting a web everywhere, on every side. Its intention is to use its own web to cover that globe so that its influence over that globe will be complete. Darkness covered the nation, God's darkness the people. It wanted to cast its web all over so that its influence will be complete and total. It already had a lot of eggs and all those things everywhere that are hatching, and they are helping it to build, to achieve its aim. And the Lord said, the enemy or the issue is not artificial intelligence or technology or anything. No, he said it is the brains behind it. There are people engineered by darkness who had decided that because they couldn't hack human system, the human system is extremely difficult to hack. I mean, we as people, we are difficult to lead. Somebody will be your follower today, tomorrow the person is your enemy. So as in the way we have it in the Christendom, where somebody will be a Christian and a person will say, I'm no longer a Christian. That's how you have it under atheism, where somebody will be atheist today and tomorrow will change his mind. That's the way you have it under those who are woke system. Somebody will say, I'm doing work today, tomorrow the person will say, I'm not doing work again. Human beings are absolutely unpredictable. You can't rely on a human being to be consistent for 20 years. Everybody evolves. Somebody that used to lead protest before, one day without drinking tea, he said, I want to go out, go for protest. He will say, God, go with you. I'm not going today. Eh? Somebody that used to be a feminist will fall in love. And the person will betray feminism and say, I'm not doing it again. I want to have a husband now. I want to have children. Eh? Somebody that used to be an abba become a pastor. So human beings, by nature, they are difficult to hack. And I mean it across board. From Islam to Christianity to every other, where you see people, you see a dynamism that is difficult to put down. Even those in religion. Even those in religion. I've seen somebody very born again, pastor, who fell in love with a Muslim woman. And he said he's not doing pastor again. I'm not kidding. And he came to tell that assassination. He said we should take our parish. Then I said, I was a PA. He said we should take, because everybody tried to talk to him that, what is wrong with you? He said, is it by force? I'm not doing it again. I found the love of my life. And my wife doesn't want to be Christian. So I want to follow her. And the man followed his wife. All of us sat down in the group. My provincial pastor said, this must be juju. This must be charm. This must be satanic. Let us pray for him. Let us do this. But in my heart, I just felt he was in love. I just felt, well, love is a funny thing. You see, C.S. Lewis said love is a perturbing thing. Because nobody could really predict how it will sway. So because they couldn't hack the human mind, they did bioeverything, they did everything. They realized that, okay, the way to do it is to use technology. Technology is going to be the biggest flex, the biggest control since Jesus. It's going to be the biggest since Jesus. And for that reason, it is not ideal for many of us to play ostrich. While we are praying, we are not going to pray that the world should not advance, or that the AI should not come, or that they shouldn't build constellations in space, or that they shouldn't colonize Mars or colonize the moon. We are not going to stand anti-progress because we are short-sighted. No. I live for a world that is extremely, extremely progressive and productive in its full element. I want that world. I want that world where Christ will be king and the supremacy of the human intellect will be on full display. It is not impossible. We don't have to be dumb for us to be great. We don't have to be like the Muslims. Muslims have, they dumb down their people so much because they are afraid that if their people should become intellectually savvy, that they will not be able to control them under that religion anymore. But Christianity is the opposite. We don't dumb down people. We encourage people to become the best. We give them everything they need, the support. We give them the teaching, the training, and the enlightenment comes from the Holy Spirit for them to be great. When you talk about all these things that are being achieved now, those who conceive them, the Isaac Newtons, the C.S. Lewis's, the Dow Tokens, all of them are from Christ. Christ is our light. It's our wisdom, it's our knowledge, our understanding. He wants us to be the best. As a result of this, positioning ourselves to lead rather than to just follow, to play follow role, so that they will be telling your role is now obsolete. They shouldn't have to tell you your role is obsolete. They are talking about doing a cyber cab now, and everybody, the people are still talking about Uber. Uber will soon be out of business. It's sooner or later, 5 years, you will see that business will not going to be profitable again. People will prefer cyber cab to Uber. They know that the cab will arrive on time. There will be no human interference. Nobody would kidnap them. Nobody would rape them. All the risk gone. And you get into the cab, it will take you to the airport or where you are going on time, and it will be effective. Even I prefer that. I mean, who doesn't want ease and effectiveness? Who doesn't want ease and effectiveness? But people will then be at a disadvantage if they do not think ahead and then plan ahead and be positioned. They will then say, hey, they've taken away our jobs. They took away our jobs. The computers are taking away our jobs. Those who say that are victims, and they are victims because this thing is not a sudden thing. It is already coming. It is not new. It is, all of us can see it's coming. It has been coming since year 2000. And it is pushing the frontiers of advancement faster than anything. Who would have thought that by now we will be talking about people already having cars that are driving themselves? Like, who would have thought of it? That by now we have it, and then we are talking flying cars now. We are moving away from that to flying cars. Really? Who would have thought? And they're achieving it. They are, it's not as if these are conceptualizing ideas. These are ideas that are already battered, that are already in implementation in some places. The world is changing. You have to evolve your thinking. That's why I'm here. This is my duty. This is me playing Jeremiah now. This is me playing John the Baptist, the voice of one in the wilderness. This is me playing my role, telling you now, evolving your thinking. Dig into your creative nuances. Bring out that person that would take over whole communities. A lot of communities that are uninitiated into technology are all over the Southwest, Southeast and South, and the North of Nigeria. It's only the big cities that have a bit of it, a sprinkle of it. And this is the time to position, to invest in those places. It's not just investment to go and buy shares. No. You can actually take a community. Say, this community, okay, let me look at it. They don't have petrol station, they don't have supermarket, they don't have that. And you'll be the number one. You'll be the one to go there, set these things up. And then they begin to rely on you, and you take over that community. You build that ecosystem for them, and you will forever be profitable. Think this way. It is important that you begin to think this way. And you say, okay, what's the name of the community? If there is something to run away from, it's a business. You set up a model. Once you get to a community, you establish it, it is working. You can take your profit and set up another community. And you can do this in such a way that those communities would then know that, okay, we have all these amenities. We have a basic hospital. We have this, we have this, we have that. We have a cinema. and it is affordable to them, and you can do that, and you will continue to make your profit. You don't have to say, oh, I'm running the diesel. No, no, no. You can do solar. You can plan it. It is not going to be too expensive, but it is going to be effective in the long run. It will be generational wealth for those who think this way. I mean generational wealth. If anybody comes forward and wants to buy you out, they will pay times 10 times 20 of your investment if you position it well and think this way. Ownership is the future. Ownership is the future. We will not serve, we will not be like Jacob, who will serve Laban, use all the anointing to serve Laban for over 20 years and end up with almost nothing. When you know, sometimes I look at scripture, I look at it to say, Jacob was very great. I'll be laughing. Jacob was not very great. Jacob was very poor. Was very poor. He wasn't richer than Abraham. Abraham was far richer than Jacob. Isaac was far richer than Jacob. Esau was far, 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 far richer than Jacob. All you have to do is look at the numbers. He had 70 people. 70. Then when he left Laban, 70. 70. 70. when I was a pastor, they will sit us according to when we go for pastors' meeting, they sit us according to our membership. If your church is 70 members, you'll be among those who eat rice without meat downstairs. I'm not joking. There's a place where they will put you. When we go for regional pastors' meeting, those who have a membership that is less than 200, there's a place they sit. You understand? That place, we will do a meeting. If you are not careful, you'll take away. When you open it, you see that it's only memory. They won't put meat. That's where Jacob will have sat. Esau will have sat among the provincial pastors. You see now? Because he had a nation, that Edom. He was a far greater man than Jacob. Because the Bible is very kind to him. The Bible says, oh. but we should tell you the truth. I'm giving every one of us advance warning. Come together. One of the things that can be our problem is lack of trust. We are Christians now. Come together. Strategize. Form a team. Team of five, team of four. All of us are full of the Holy Spirit. Form a team. Think of big art concepts. Execute it within the next 1-2 years. Take over communities. You know what I'm saying to you? Hear me. I'm begging you. See me. I'm begging. I'm begging. I'm begging. Work together. Work together. Your great-grandchildren will be praying for me 7 years to come in Jesus' time if you will listen to me. Take over communities. Take over communities economically. Be the one providing the basic amenities of communities. There are so many communities all over Africa. If that is what you are providing, I'm telling you, your business will always do well. They will come, they will buy fuel for their motorcycles. They will come, they will buy stuff. They will come and take supply from your warehouse to sell. They will bring their money. The money may be dirty, may be small, but they will bring it. I've seen small community businesses, and if you help them to run it and you help them to scale it, you'll see that within a short time, communities will stabilize. You will be their number one. Some other people are already doing it. One guy, one king is doing it in LA now, deliberately taking over the ecosystem of his community. He can see that the world is changing, and he's trying to depend on his influence to quickly grab the attention of his people and localize them before some foreigners will come and sway them and sway their pockets away from that community and sway away their young men and sway away their young women. It's time. When I look at some of the things he's doing, I tell myself these are things that Christians should deliberately be doing. Should not just carry Bible and be preaching. We should also become the economic mainstay of communities. They should be drinking from our well, and they should find themselves satisfied in what we are offering. It is not for lack of means. We are not poor. I say it because I know it to be true. We are not poor, but we are very individualistic in our thinking, and most of us will lack entrepreneurial nuance. We just want to work for somebody, collect salary, and live our basic, simple lives. That is the problem with most Christians. We do not think like God told Abraham to think. Abraham was taught to think ownership. He wasn't raised to think servitude. Isaac was raised to think ownership. Jacob was the first person to serve anybody. Even he ran away from servitude. He had to go for ownership. Ownership. Ownership is key. It is how you'll be able to train your children the way you want. You take them away from the system. You raise them according to your dictates, according to the dictates of God. This is how you win them off the persuasion and the influence of the world. Ownership is key. Take over communities. Pool funds. Look together. There are so many communities. I've been to Ilori, I've been to Ofa, I've been to everything. I've seen all these small communities that they don't have much, but if you go there, solar, everything, PPP, you are the economic heartbeat, and you are not going to do it as charity. And you will scale according to what they have, and you will be their number one, you'll be the hospital, you'll be the supermarket, you'll be the cinema, you'll be this, your own communities. You do that with less than $100,000, $50,000, you can own many communities. They will even make you king. And I'm not kidding. And you'll be making your money, and it would help to build you generational wealth in the long run than to insist on sustaining this system that is programmed to steal the heart of man and to take away the consciousness of God from people. We have to be deliberate about this. I tried today to be simple in my words. I don't want to sound like all those eschatological teachers who would say a lot of big, big English and then nobody will know what they're talking about. I want it to be simple. Beyond what I said, there are other solutions that the Holy Spirit will tell you. I've sat down, I've looked at it, and I know there are so many other solutions to these changes that are coming that I may not be able to provide. It's not really my field as per se. But you understand that from the things I've said, you can then enlarge and broaden your thinking and think, okay, all I want to do is provide so and so for this community, you know, and this and that. And once you begin to do that and you have patronage, you're fine. You're fine. You know that you don't need to compete with the big wigs. Just give me my community, I'm fine with it. It is how it's going to be. Businesses must go tribal. There are multinationals, there are international businesses, but you must go tribal now. You must break rank from them and go tribal and own your own little spots in this world. You must buy land. I mean buy land, go into real estate, own properties, not just in Lagos, buy land in the hinterland, buy land. It is important. These things I'm saying to you, they are not my words. They are not, it is not me trying to coach those who have more experience in all these things than me in life. I know the needs of those I address, and I know that a lot of us here are far, 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 far ahead of me in these things in life. So I'm not trying to instruct my teachers. I'm just saying, please, buy land, buy real estate, buy it, invest in it, put money, put time, put energy. Build stuff, build things. It is important. The world is changing. It is not changing the way it was changing in the 80s or 90s. In the 90s, things are consistent for a few days. Sometimes for 5 years, things will be consistent. Now, things are not consistent for a year. What we have last year is not what we have this year. What we have this year is not what we have next year. You've been an aircraft 2 years ago. It's different from the way you are taking this year. It's different from the way you are taking next year. It's like everything was just being stripped down and rebuilt, stripped down and rebuilt. Like, world is changing. Position yourself. And as you raise your children, this is also the mindset you must have in raising them. You must position them for ownership to take over from you. Not in the olden days, our fathers have farm, so they want to raise their children to go abroad, to go and become big men abroad. That's fine. Now you are the big man abroad. You must begin to then think that, okay, Am I going to throw my children into the world, or am I going to build a legacy that my children can then push further in future? We must begin to raise our children also to think in a certain light. Please, the Lord gave me this instruction a few days ago when we were at the conference. I'm going to speak more on it because that's why I invited the leaders. I said only the leaders should come. They are the ones I want to talk to. And these are the things we are going to talk about. All of us are going to put us together. We have to strategize. We have to do Acts chapter 15. All of us have to sit down and strategize, and everybody will come with what they can. And all of us will then leave that conference backed by the Holy Spirit to change our world. The conference is starting on Friday. Tomorrow will be my last teaching here. I believe that all of us have benefited one way or the other from the classes we've had in the past 1 month. Glory to God. Thank God for the testimonies. They are coming in thick and fast. Prevailing prayer has really helped us. And we thank God because we will continue to do well. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. The Bible says we should buy the future. That's what I want to do today. I've spoken to the Lord about this. The offering we are giving today, no matter how small it is, it's not about the amount. I want you to buy the future. Take a picture of your mind as somebody who is buying the future. No matter how much, it doesn't matter. Right? I've seen people bought the future for cheap. And when the future came, it gave them great profits. That the future that is ahead of you and your children, a secured future, you will not be one of those who are stranded in this future that is coming. You're not one of those who will tell the story of the glorious 60s, the glorious 70s, the glorious 2000s, and then you are now here. You are, no. There is an upward and forward movement for you and your family. Upward and forward movement for you in Christ. You are positioned for it. You are not sleeping at behind the wheel. You are not sleeping off. You are not one of those who will sleep off and then you wake up and then you'll be saying, ah, what has happened? They used to like test softwares. No, you can see it and you are right on top of it. You are not going to be caught unawares. You are not going to be taken for granted or stranded. Eh? Music producers, all the guys, music and cool. When YouTube came and all this digital streaming, all of them, if you see the way they lost out, all these promoters, what are they promoting now? Because the world changed. It changed in their very eyes. One day they were promoting, next thing YouTube is streaming. Next thing, it is the streaming that we are reading. Nobody is talking about, I sold out 1,000 copies, I sold out 2 million copies. People are just looking at the streaming numbers now. Nobody cares what copies we are selling. The world has changed. It is still changing. That's what I'm talking about. The same thing with movies. It is changing. There was a time you release a movie, they say, box office. Well, box office sell out. Oh, Titanic sold out 3 million, 5 million in a day. Now, streaming. That's how. The world has changed. A lot of people lost a lot of income, a lot of investment because they couldn't see that the world is changing. You can see that the world is changing. And therefore, that future is yours. As you heard my words, the impartation that comes with it. I told you, when I teach, I do not teach just words. I'm not a motivational speaker. I teach as led by the Spirit. And therefore, the Spirit of God that has laid this down as a word to hear, the Spirit of God is on you now, positioning you for a future that is bought. He told Jeremiah to buy land. He said, go and buy land. He said, buy a field. And Jeremiah went to buy a field right before they were taken away captive. And God said, this is a future you have bought. A day will come. People will come back to this land to eat, to drink, to dance, to marry, and to do other things. You have bought a future today. That future is secured in the name of Jesus. That future is secured. It is settled in the name of Jesus. You begin to have the idea, the concept. You begin to buy communities. You begin to own communities. You begin to do these things, and you before you know it, you find yourself preparing and procuring generational wealth for the kingdom to come. The system of this world will not take away your gain. Thank you, Father, for our prayers are answered. Your word is faithful and true. We heard you clearly, and we will do according to what we have heard. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory!
Glory!
Glory to God!
Glory to Jesus!
Glory!
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.